as nonprofits, we are often our own worst enemies because we live in these echo chambers. We put ourselves in an echo chamber, I think, so often, where we just talk the way we talk to the people that already talk the same way as us. And we miss making the biggest difference and tackling the biggest problems because we only want to talk to the people that want to talk just like us.
That is Thaddeus Nichols, Vice President of Partner Programs at International Justice Mission. When it comes to tackling humanity's biggest problems, his organization's work to combat trafficking and slavery, violence against women and children, and abuse of power is a global leader.
Little girls, children, families should not be born in slavery. They should not be sold into brothels. They should not be sold over the internet. These are things that we can and are agreeing on. So let's start there. Let's start and let's stay there.
In this episode, we'll get insight into how Thaddeus creates partnerships at IJM, which is short for International Justice Mission, that serve the mission, provide value, and have real impact. We'll learn about his story of origin and how lessons learned in childhood have instilled in him an unwavering commitment to care for the poor and powerless and led him to the career he has today at IJM. I'm your host, Ted Vaughn, partner at Historic and author of Culture Built My Brand. Join me as we unpack the stories and lessons of today's most innovative leaders. A native of the Great Plains, Thaddeus's upbringing in Wichita, Kansas was not a typical childhood.
They just really developed a huge heart for the homeless community in Wichita and also the homeless AIDS community specifically, which in the late 80s and the 90s, that was kind of an untouchable community. My dad was an executive at a company in Wichita. My mom was a wonderful, you know, homemaker to my brothers and I. And so they started just inviting guys into their home that were homeless, a lot of times with AIDS, to stay with us. So it might be they have a big interview the next day, or they need to be able to show that they've been clean for a certain period of time. It was everything from, like, I remember waking up to the fire alarms going off in the house and coming downstairs because this guy Brian had put a frozen burrito in the oven and he'd left the wrapping on and he put two in there. And we came down and he's like pulling it out and it's burning and stuff. And he's like eating one and feeding the other one to our dog Brandy, you know? And like his response was like, you know, Brandy was hungry, you know, like the dog was hungry. So it was little moments like that, that to me felt normal, but in hindsight, I'm like, wow, that was a unique experience as a kid.
Normal home life for Thaddeus and his family was unique, and his parents' commitment to serve others led them to a ranch in Kansas.
I then lived there for 3 years with my dad as these guys, 18 to 21 from the inner cities like Watts and Compton and St. Louis, would come out for 2 years to be mentored and discipled, to learn job skills. And that was where I grew up. So I just saw this incredible model of like what it really meant for them to serve God and to love people, really number one. And then I just really saw my dad's financial acumen as well, like completely turn that place around, you know? So like his business background, they started sharecropping the land. They built like a welding school. They built a retreat center that my mom then ran. And so like they went from like negative donation to actually having a positive cash flow off of earning some income along the way. So I just got this incredible picture of like, man, there's a lot of different skills and gifts that can come to the table and serving people. And it gave me a really broad scope of that.
Thaddeus has clearly been inspired by his parents' passion and dedication to serve others as they use their gifts to help others discover and live into their own unique gifting.
My dad comes from a financial background, was a CFO, and the other staff that were there were gifted in a variety of different ways. You had people that were great mentors and disciplers. You had others that like really knew how to bring job training to someone. You had others that were social workers. Those weren't skills that my dad had or my mom. My mom had incredible gifts of hospitality and really welcoming people and was a very administratively strong as well. And these are kind of sometimes tasks that get you put in the back office at a nonprofit, maybe, like while the frontline people go do the, you know, the really important stuff. But I never felt like it was that way growing up. It wasn't, they were in the back office doing something and that was less important. It was really, no, we're going to use the gifts we have so that other people can live in theirs. Because you know what? If this is not self-sufficient, if we can't raise enough money, if we can't balance the books, if we can't welcome and care for people really well when they come into the retreat center, none of the rest of it can happen. It actually built the framework for everyone else to live in their giftings. And it's been the example to me my entire life of like, that's what I want to do. Can I be that to allow others to live in theirs?
When it comes to having a meaningful impact as a nonprofit, investing in staff and volunteers, recognizing what they can bring to the organization, should be top of mind. On Future Nonprofit, we've heard from many incredible leaders who've acknowledged this, including Tom Vozo from Homeboy Industries in our first season. Tom's empathy and work to let staff and former gang members in LA live into their gifts was inspiring. His story also offered sound advice for nonprofits and for-profits and is well worth a listen. But back to our conversation today with Thaddeus. For those invited to stay in his family home or on the ranch, there was significant, if not life-changing, value. And for Thaddeus, it was truly formative. Every guest we've been privileged to learn from on Future Nonprofit has spoken about key formative moments in their upbringing, in their story of origin that tied directly to the profound work they're doing today. For Thaddeus, a foundation for caring and serving others was instilled through the convictions and actions of his parents. And today, he's building on that legacy in his work at IJM. What about you? What are the profound moments, perhaps inspiring, perhaps traumatic, that have shaped the passion, conviction, and dedication behind your work? Exploring, understanding, and leveraging those moments can be profound and helpful in your work of serving others. And the opposite is true as well. If we fail to explore and understand how our upbringing has shaped us into the people we are today, at best, it's a missed opportunity. At worst, it could lead to a crisis of identity or burnout.
I got exposed to so much of the world through this. I got so much more than an average boy from Kansas in a graduating class of 35 would have ever gotten, you know, through the exposure that I received to these men that came out from the cities, the exposure that I saw of actually getting to see my parents in action every single day working. I don't think there's really too many other things that could have exposed me in the way that that did. And so I'm profoundly grateful for it.
Thaddeus recalls a moment from his childhood that had a profound impact on him after watching an Ingrid Bergman movie called The Inn of the Sixth Happiness.
The Inn of the Sixth Happiness, filmed against the turbulent and troubled background of old China, is the true story of Gladys Aylward.
A Hollywood retelling of the struggles and triumphs of a Christian missionary who arrived in China in the 1930s, saving children from invading forces, adopting some, and housing many more after setting up an orphanage.
The woman's courage and humility made a miracle happen in the face of almost overwhelming danger.
Beyond Ingrid Bergman becoming my first crush as a result of this movie as a five-year-old, I had like this profound desire that like, I want to run an orphanage in China. I want to like be a missionary in China. My friends at school want to become police officers, firefighters, you know, professional athletes, the full gamut. And I'm like, nah, I want to run an orphanage in China.
Thaddeus did not follow in the footsteps of Gladys Aylward, though he did go to college at the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. And he took inspiration from his father, working part-time in the corporate sector to gain business experience.
I play soccer in the fall. In the spring, I go to class and I work like 20 hours a week at this investment firm downtown, just trying to layer this in and working over the whole summer. That's where I think I started to get this vision of like, okay, there's a wider way that I can serve humanity and God than just like this narrow lens that maybe my school was teaching me. You know, and that started to reveal itself in the years to come as I moved into the marketplace and worked at the investment firm and then coming out of that into some nonprofits and things like that. But that was kind of a catalytic moment for me to understand like, yeah, there was something that was really profound as a five-year-old. And there was an incredible example that I had in my parents. And I think those two things marry together, but I need to figure out what that looks like for me.
Alongside school, soccer, and work, Thaddeus also became a passionate volunteer in Chicago, with a nonprofit helping fatherless at-risk teens in the city. That led to a full-time role and huge amount of experience on the path to his current role.
It was one of those catch-all roles that a lot of fundraising roles start out as. So like, I was volunteer recruitment and management. I was like church and community relations. I was running the fundraisers, the development committee. I was writing the newsletter, writing the emails. You know, it's like 17 hats all in one. And I'm 23, 24 years old at the time. I'm in December and with the executive director, like sweating, did we bring in enough this year to like cover everybody's salaries? I'm feeling that weight as a 23, 24 year old, which wasn't the most fun in that moment, but I am so grateful that I was like allowed into that, to be a part of that. I was there for 6 years. And during that point in time, we grew to about 18 employees, over $2 million of revenue. And so I got to see that really hard hump of getting over $1 million, that really hard hump of getting over $2 million, and that opportunity to build out a team in that. So like, okay, I don't have to wear every hat anymore. Like, Thad, what hats are you good at wearing? What hats are you not good at wearing? Where's the skills that you can empower? And so getting to build and lead a team was really incredible.
After moving to another nonprofit, Thaddeus got a call that would start a new chapter in his life. It was a call that was unexpected and notable.
I didn't know a lot about International Justice Mission. I remembered maybe 7 years before when the founder, Gary Haugen, had spoken at the Global Leadership Summit. International Justice Mission is it's a globally diverse collection of Christian attorneys, criminal investigators, social workers, advocates, and storytellers. And they rescue victims of violence, slavery, and oppression around the world every single day. So at its core, it's a justice organization combating human trafficking, violence against women and children, and it's done by professionals. And so I get this call from a recruiter from International Justice Mission. It sounds really interesting to build out this marketing team and department with their church engagement. I think I talked to him on a Tuesday. I think on a Thursday, I had a call with the hiring manager. On Monday, they flew me out for all-day interview. And at the airport on the way home, I had a job offer. It just whirlwind and under a week. And it was just so clear and apparent that my heart connected deeply with their work and that I had a lot of the skill sets that were necessary for this role. And there was just going to be a lot of space to grow and develop in it as well. As I'd kind of been in small organizations previously and learning a lot on the fly. And I was just really eager and anxious to work under some like incredible marketing and fundraising experts and be a part of a bigger team.
That brings us to partnerships, where Thaddeus spends almost all of his working hours. Partnerships are an arena of opportunity, a team sport where working together offers outcomes way beyond what any one person or organization could achieve on their own. But they're also complex, bringing multiple stakeholders together along with different viewpoints and different ways of working. So what does partnership mean to Thaddeus?
There's a lot of ways to look at partnership. I mean, most every organization has like maybe a strategic partnerships team or a partnership engagement team. So you have your donor aspect of partnership, really like these are your partners walking with you. And we have those teams as well. The partner programs team that I lead at IJM is really focused on the people and places of greatest scale. So it's our work with churches. It's our work with volunteer mobilization, with advocacy. It's our work with conferences, music tours, with professional athletes, with influencers. It's really that idea of like, if we can have a relationship with a few individuals that unlock a mass behind them, it's just incredibly scalable. So a relationship with a professional athlete just gives you incredible platform to engage from. A relationship with a conference, a music tour, through a volunteer in their local community. These are just ways to really unlock at scale. To sum it up as tightly as I can, partnership is a means of scale. Yeah, it's scaling together and it's never a one-way street. So we're providing an avenue of scale for them and they're providing an avenue of scale for us.
Let's talk about scale and partnerships for a moment. IJM has grown into a huge organization and partnerships have been a key driver of that growth. While most nonprofits will not and should not grow to the size and scale of IJM, partnerships are still an incredibly important strategy for any nonprofit of any size. The mistake that so many leaders make, that so many entrepreneurs make, that so many nonprofits make, is to believe that going it alone and doing it yourself is better. That sort of mindset only works in limited areas, like where your values make you unique or in the specific area of focus that truly is your unfair advantage. Those are the things that you need to do for yourself. But trying to do everything else on your own, well, that can actually hurt your organization and mission. Because to cut through the noise in today's world of rapid change, you need a breadth of expertise that is much wider than you could ever achieve alone. This is where effective partnerships can bring in different skills to help you achieve your goals and scale your impact. Here's another benefit with partnerships. They offer great opportunities to build empathy. When you seek out perspectives from people who think differently than you and who relate differently to the issue you're trying to solve, It helps disrupt your thinking, and that creates fertile ground for more innovative ideas and solutions. It opens you up to new thinking and reveals solutions to problems you might not have considered otherwise. Keep in mind that it doesn't help to view a problem through a single lens. Cultivate partnerships with those who help you view it from different angles. Those types of partnerships are the key to unlocking scale and amplifying your nonprofit's impact. What do these types of partnerships look like for IJM? Well, since the organization began work in 1997, IJM has helped millions of vulnerable. But according to the latest global estimates, there are still 49.6 million people living in modern slavery right now. There's still a long way to go before slavery is consigned to the history books for good. Now imagine having 150 professional athletes spreading the message and helping people understand how they can help. A network like that has incredible reach and scale, and that's what Thaddeus has helped IJM accomplish through partnerships with professional sports associations like the National Hockey League and Major League Baseball. Here's Thaddeus recalling one such opportunity that really leveraged scale.
I remember in 2020, it's December, the world is shut down.
Several breaking developments tonight in the coronavirus outbreak.
The first, a major announcement from President Trump.
New York City's St. Patrick's Day parade now postponed.
More breaking news to tell you about the...
Nothing's really happening, and we had just gotten this invitation earlier in the year to be a member of the Super Bowl host committee. We're incredibly excited about that, the opportunity to be present with the Super Bowl, really talking about the anti-trafficking movement in that with some of our player partners. And then like 2 months later, the world shuts down. And we're like, what does a Super Bowl look like during COVID? And as the year goes on, our hope that we're going to be like present physically dwindles more and more. And then in December, I want to say like the 10th or 12th of December, we get a call from the NFL Network asking if we'd like to do a PSA, so a free commercial on the NFL Network, the entire month of January, which is Human Trafficking Awareness Month, and leading up to the Super Bowl. And they said, just the catch is though, we need it by, I think it was December 30th. We need it complete because we're going to put it in the rotation right away. And so we have 2 weeks to do a NFL Network level commercial.
Let me jump in here before we get back to Thaddeus, just to let that sink in and remind us of a little context. The Super Bowl is big in any year, even in the face of a pandemic. Tampa Bay is set to play Kansas City in Florida, but only 25,000 fans can be in attendance, including over 7,000 special guests, frontline healthcare workers. But football fans around the world are at home, glued to their screens, waiting to see if the Buccaneers will make history. And just like many of us, IJM's staff were facing the same challenges of closed offices and social distancing. But this is an opportunity that has to be taken. And so, with only 2 weeks to wrap a commercial during a pandemic, Thaddeus gets to work.
And so it's like, right around Christmas, like I can go, you know, we can figure out what we do. And so we worked with one of our great partners, Benjamin Watson, who was playing for the Patriots at the time. And we put together this PSA at his home in snowy Boston. He, you know, opened up his downstairs and we filmed about the reality of human trafficking in a nutshell. It got turned around really quickly and it was played all through January. It was played on the day of the Super Bowl and it's just had this profound reach. It continues to live on. It's still shown.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. One in four are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to IJM.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
And this came because we sat down with the NFL and we talked about like, what are the wins for you? And for them, wins were, hey, our players really love what you're doing and they're engaged in it and it's really worthy and good cause. A, that's one. B, there's this myth that is like goes around that the Super Bowl is the highest trafficking event in the year that major sporting events are. And there's just not a lot of facts to back it up. We know that things like that happen at the Super Bowl, but it's not actually that. So like, let's actually expose people to the wider reality of human trafficking, which is that there's 40 million around the world that are trapped in slavery. This is bigger than one day. And we don't want people to think we can just solve it in one day. So they kind of shared those were the wins. And so we started to talk to them like, okay, how can we do this together? And that's where that invitation came, because that's obviously an incredible win for us. The huge exposure that comes with a commercial on the NFL Network, especially on Super Bowl Sunday, when all the pregame coverage is on the NFL Network. And it was a great win for them as well.
Touchdown!
If there was a risk involved in creating a commercial for the Super Bowl in just 2 weeks, it certainly paid off. But the success and the reach that Thaddeus, IJM, and the NFL were able to achieve was a result of a thoughtfully developed partnership. Creating impact started when they did the work of finding the right fit, nurturing enthusiasm, and clearly defining their shared goals. And the work paid off. The other opportunity for IJM is corporate partnerships, another arena where building a deep relationship creates reciprocity. Some organizations see the partnership with IJM as an investment in corporate responsibility, a partnership that supports supply chains that are free from abuse by establishing good policy and effective policing, creating safe places for people to work around the world. But Thaddeus is keen to leverage reciprocity beyond investment, going inside the office with workplace engagement.
And so that's really, how do we engage with employees in their space? A really prominent example of that is Google Giving Week.
You can Google it. It's worth a Google.
So every year, Google has this Google Giving Week, a big day, and their employees can sponsor organizations to come in and hold a booth. Traditionally, you just get a booth, and Google will match the donations of their employees, and employees can give it directly out of their paycheck. Traditionally, every year, they'll get invited to come and speak and to hold seminars about human trafficking, the reality of it. For us, it's been a huge revenue generator and an incredible opportunity to talk to new donors and partners. The win for Google is their employees love it. I mean, it's an opportunity for them to feel like their work is part of a larger movement. Every year, what was like a one or two man band at Google that was the committee that brought IJM in has grown to 10 to 20. And you know, like each of these campuses now have chapters of like 100 people that are like, when Google Giving Week comes around, they're all like jumping at the bit to make sure IJM is there. They're not just like, hey, let's make sure they're present. They're then working that booth. They're bringing their coworkers in. They're sometimes bringing their bosses in and saying, hey, this is the thing I love. And so it just gives this opportunity for them to develop a lot of like depth of relationship that goes beyond their work. And that's really fun for us to be a part of. And just to kind of like, I love watching it, you know, from the behind the scenes to like see a workplace that's truly like experiencing that, like that purpose in their work.
Reciprocity is a powerful concept for nonprofit leaders to embrace. When nonprofits find creative ways to add value to their partners and donors, they build a bridge of connection and trust that is far more powerful than simply presuming on shared concern for the mission. With over 1.5 million nonprofits in America today, there is no shortage of cause or mission to partner with. So why should someone choose your nonprofit? Why should they align their resources with your mission? The easy and somewhat obvious answer is because they care about what you care about. But in today's brave new world, nonprofits aren't the only organizations leading with mission. For-profit brands are too, backed by millions of dollars of budget to promote and market their brand in sophisticated and powerful ways. To sustain donor engagement, nonprofits need to understand who their donors and partners are, and then find creative and compelling ways to add value beyond the shared presumption of mission or need. What are they feeling, needing, wanting, hoping for? And how might we scratch their itch in ways that build deeper and lasting connection to the donor? IJM is a Christian organization, and their faith shapes their mission and their core values. Alongside empathy, compassion, and social strength, faith is also a significant source of economic strength. But balancing religious values with corporate objectives can create challenges. How does IJM approach partnerships in order to not mitigate opportunities that they so carefully cultivate, like that at Google?
So one of our core values is that we are Christian, yes. But our core values are also that we're professional, and that we're bridge builders. And that bridge building is really where this becomes really key. I think a lot of times as nonprofits, we are often our own worst enemies at times. because we live in these echo chambers. We put ourselves in an echo chamber, I think, so often, where we just talk the way we talk to the people that already talk the same way as us. And we miss making the biggest difference and tackling the biggest problems because we only want to talk to the people that want to talk just like us. But the reality is like, that's not our mission or our vision. What I have been hired to do at IJM is not to work with a bunch of people that look and talk just like me. What I've been hired to do is help end human trafficking around the world. And to do that, it's going to take a lot of people that don't look and talk like me and don't look and talk together that often. So we call it a lot of times, we call this big table principle. So we are going to build this really big table and there's going to be a lot of people sitting at it that don't normally sit together. But they are all there for the same reason, which is that little girls, children, families should not be born in slavery. They should not be sold into brothels. They should not be sold over the internet. These are things that we can and are agreeing on. So let's start there. Let's start and let's stay there because that's really what we're here for.
The big table approach is really worth emphasizing. It is hard to get out of our echo chambers, as Thaddeus describes it. But by making it a part of his purpose, it builds bridges and ultimately helps drive IJM towards achieving their mission. Said another way, if any organization turns its back on those who could offer value and solutions, it only makes their mission that much harder or even unattainable.
I think I would maybe start from the fact that there's kind of two misconceptions that I would be careful with. One is that you need to go out and find like the biggest music tour and sponsor that and look for like child sponsorships out of it or whatever it may be. And the second thing is that whether it's an athlete or an influencer or a musician or a church or something, that you should start with like asking them for money. If I was to start with partnerships, where we always start is really from earned partnerships. So who is it in your network that already loves what you're doing? So maybe you have a donor right now who also is a musician. Maybe you have a donor right now who is also a local or national celebrity. Maybe right now you have a donor who's on the board of a conference, or you know there's a conference that has asked you to come speak. Take every one of those opportunities to go and speak and develop those earned relationships. So look at them in the same way that you would look at your donors. Look at how you can cultivate and care for them and pull them deeply into the work. And I would definitely start with earned far before you put any time into paid. Paid takes a lot to build out. You need the machinery for it. You need the infrastructure. You need the staffing. You need the event expertise. Those are all really great things. But then you also have to step into a marketplace where you're going to be competing with other organizations who already have those mechanisms built out and already know their cost per acquisition like thresholds. They already have their ROI down really tight and they know exactly what they can invest in those things. But what they can't compete with you on is the love that people already have for your organization. So if you can really develop some earned relationships, that will do a lot. And that's where we always start. We do have athletes, we do have influencers that we do paid partnerships with, you know, for sponsorship, or that give out of their own personally. But that relationship always deepens as well when they're able to use their platform. So when one of our partners can use their platform and talk about what they're passionate about, it deepens their relationship with you and it gives you a ton of exposure.
IJM is a profound example of a nonprofit finding creative ways to expand their impact by adding value to their partners and donors. Even with a compelling mission that could easily sell itself, leaders like Thaddeus keep IJM on the leading edge of nonprofit partnership. So let's summarize a few of the key learnings. First, tap into your story of origin and better understand the moments, whether positive or negative, that have shaped you into the person you are today. Next, if your goal is to create meaningful and lasting partnerships, start with your base. Who do you know already that would be a great advocate? Investing in relationships you already have will save time, help mitigate risk, and unlock genuine advocacy. Third, to create impact with those relationships, find the value for all of your stakeholders. Take time to understand what your partners hope to achieve, like Thaddeus did with the NFL. The real impact comes when purpose is aligned. And finally, build bridges and don't get stuck in an echo chamber. Why make your mission harder or even impossible when a bigger, broader table of people could make it easier? I'm Ted Vaughn, and this is Future Nonprofit. If you want to hear more stories from experts in the industry and learn how to take your nonprofit into the future, Subscribe to the podcast and visit makehistoric.com.
Future Nonprofit is a production of Lower Street and Historic Agency. Produced by Mark Miller, Ben Crannell, James Bladel, and Ted Vaughn. Edited by Ben Crannell. Visit futurenonprofit.com for a transcript of this episode.